think we had a moment of the Holy Spirit. Thank you to the people in the booth who helped us channel the Spirit. The story of Pentecost is found in the second chapter of Acts. Today, we will read the first 20 verses. But the story continues as Peter preaches the first recorded sermon given by Christ followers. Today, we celebrate the birth of the church. This is the moment. The stage is set by a breath of God. Peter comes forward to speak. The church is born. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even among my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day." The word of God for the people of God.
That's that one piece of scripture that everybody laments. Don't pick me to be the liturgist on the Sunday when I have to say Pamphylia. Oh my goodness. And there's sometimes when I say, just say, you know, they're from Georgia. Just say they're from Charleston and Albany and Knoxville and whatever, but they're all home. And Lord have mercy on us. She did great. This is an incredible Sunday, but I want you to get that it is not a distinct one only event. There is this great sense in which everything beforehand has been leading up to this moment, and this moment continues the past and sends us off in a new future. It may be a turning point, but it is not a stop the presses. All of what was past is no longer valid, and all of what will come will now change because You see, they had been saying since the creation story that breath was important. The Hebrew word is ruah. Ruah. And they learned probably thousands and thousands of years ago that when somebody quits having breath, they be dead. And so there was this sense that breath means life. Turns out that when you can't get the fire going, if you will breathe on it, it gives life to fire too. There are some really ancient symbols that carry on. It's no wonder that, if you've ever been to Israel, it's no wonder that water is a critical part of life, because if you go, there ain't any. You can walk for days in certain directions and wonder, how did anybody survive anything near here? Well, the story goes, they went from this well to this well. And when water came, it was like a gift from God. They learned that when you spill blood, people die. And yet on the ground where blood is spilled, plants grow better. So life is connected to breath. Life is connected to blood. And so all of these symbols and all of these just ancient parts of what it means to be human are wrapped up and send us forward. On a cold night without fire, there is no life. So fire is critical. So the story, since the creation story in the Old Testament, has been leading us to a moment when a new life in people's lives, or a new spirit in the church, or something like that, is so equated to God's living presence. If there is wind in the Bible, it is a special thing. Any wind resonates of God. It takes breath to give new life. Fire and blood and water are critical pieces in our story, and yet sometimes we just, you know, if we don't have electricity, none of those things count. But if we lived in the desert, water would be our favorite thing. Water, breath, fire, light, blood, seeds, fruit, all of these things are symbols of a new kind of life. One of the powerful parts of this story, and I invite you to read it a couple more times today. Read all of chapter 2, even though we've only read the first 20 verses. Read all of chapter 2 for Acts. There's a number of times in this storyline that if you just are reading, ooh, that's powerful. God is awake and God is moving in the church. But it says at least six times, all of them. And it says very clearly, using Joel, men and women, slaves and free, stop picking sides. Everyone is included. God gives life. If there is life, it comes from God. The other story that you need to hear resonate in this story is the story of the Tower of Babel. You remember that story? This is yes, this is no. Anybody remember the Tower of Babel? We got a little cocky. We human beings, right? We thought we could do whatever it took. They used to believe that if you could get to the cloud line, you could get to where God lives. So if they build a high enough thing, that's why sometimes it says they go up on the mountain to be close to God. Because all we got to do, the heavens are at the cloud line. And so we human beings decide we want to be God. It sounds a little bit like that story in the garden. We want to be God, so we work together, we build this tall tower so we can go up and we can tell God what we want God to do. Not that we do that in our own homes and our private. Okay, maybe that's just me. I make suggestions. So we go up and God essentially strikes disunity into humanity so humanity can't be God. Like we had a chance. And in this moment, all of what happened in that early myth is now put back together. All of the languages that God has said you can't be like that, he reunifies all of humanity back under one word, under one message, a message of new life through Jesus Christ. Everything changed, the Spirit moves in, and unity is restored. So hear those echoes. You can't hear the story of Pentecost and just think, oh, the church is born, we're good, let's do what Jesus said. You have to carry with you that legacy that comes, that legacy that proclaims most loudly and most clearly, this is a moment of new life for God's people, for humanity. Pentecost is a moment of change, but it brings together all of the past and it sets us up for a new kind of future. Life-giving, unified. One of my favorite parts of it is the thing about the disciples not being drunk. It kind of sneaks up on you. I love the fact that they left that in the story. There's no doubt that got said. There was probably was a rationale for lots of different people's suggestions of weird things. You guys are drunk. I'm not doing that. Nope, it's early. Catch us later. There seems to be a little implication that later on, well, it turns out their water wasn't as clean as our water is now, so it was actually safest to use as your main fluid intake wine. So they used wine as an example of life. And maybe that's why, as an example of life, bread and wine. Not to get drunk, but. Like most preachers, I would love to celebrate Pentecost Sunday with some miraculous moment of God engaging humanity and stopping time and doing something that you can only go, oh my gosh, that was God. But don't think just because that same miraculous moment of Pentecost doesn't happen for us this morning in worship that God is not moving. If we are listening, God is moving in this community and has new things ahead of us. There were some of us that gathered together this week and we were just going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going to unfold. Opportunities appeared that in a couple of years will change ministry in our community. And it was really exciting. And part of what we had to admit to each other is we have no idea what God's going to do. Hold on and enjoy the ride. I had this wonderful sermon about that really keyed in on the phrases, all of them, and the unity part, because it feels like our world needs more unity and that the church, especially the United Methodist Church, needs a voice of unity. But there was a disquietness in my spirit, and I took that to mean I needed to change my conversation this morning. So I have a different message than I prepared most of the week. Are you ready? Listen, God lives. God is not dead. God loves. God loves you. God loves me. I don't know why God loves me, but God does. Feel free to put yourself in there if you need to. God has proven faithful to me over and over and over, and I have proven to God that I need God's faithfulness over and over and over. It feels like at times I am playing out the same pattern that happens in Scripture where humanity messes up and God fixes it. God fixes it. Humanity, flood, fixed to the point where Jesus comes and has to fix it. There's this once and for all fixedness. And every time humanity gets a chance to wander a bit, we wander away a bit too far. It's like we humans don't ever learn to just follow. I know this. I know God has a plan. And I know that I am part of that plan. I know that each and every one of you is part of God's plan. I don't know God's plan. I don't need to know God's plan. I don't need to, and I don't get to approve of God's plan. Just like Jonah, I think there would be times I say, yeah, if that's your goal, I'm going this way. Is that just me? I desire with all of my heart to be part of God's plan. Do you desire with all of your heart to be part of God's plan? At the right time, God will unfold God's plan. The Spirit of God will move through the willing hearts, and God will do the God stuff. We don't have to do the God stuff. We don't get to do the God stuff. If we're lucky, we get to see God do God stuff. And here's the part that comes by way of something like confession. God made me the way I am. I don't know what God was thinking. And God plans to use me the way that I am. God uses my successes and my gifts. And God uses my failures and my weakness. God uses your successes and your gifts. God uses your brokenness, loneliness. God uses our suffering. And sometimes God uses our failures to make God stuff happen. I know that learning and growing in my faith allows me to hear God more clearly. I know that learning and growing in my faith allows me to be prepared to act when God calls me or God calls us into action. But I'm not sure if I didn't study along the way, if I didn't listen carefully along the way, that at the right moment when God was ready to act, that I would be as prepared to engage and be part of God's plan. And so I continue learning and growing. The hardest part? Learning and growing in my faith allows me to wait patiently if waiting is what God calls me to do at the time. Any of you have trouble with patience, or is that just me? God, I have a list. I put stuff on my list for you. Let's go. Places to go, people to see. I believe that always and everywhere I am called to be a vessel of God's unconditional love. Let me say that about 75 more times. I believe that everywhere and always I am called to be a vessel of God's unconditional love. To be a vessel of grace. God doesn't say, I need you to go out and judge people. That's my native instinct. He didn't say, I need you to complain a bit and then gossip. Even if that is part of our human condition. God calls us to unconditional love and offer grace. Never am I allowed to play the role of God. I'm not called to be judge or to condemn. I do not know God's plan for other people. I do not know their gifts and their strengths. I do not know their history and their experiences. The best I can do is to be the best God created me that I can be. And some days I have better days than other days. I do not. I confess, as your preacher and leader, I do not fully understand God or God's plan for the world. Never will. Don't need to. Best I can tell, my role is to be in relationship with God, to engage God and listen. That's why I'm a Christ follower, not Christ. Let me say that one more time. My role, your role, is to be in relationship with God, to engage and to listen and respond, to follow. I don't think that God is less active in the world today because we have less walking on water. I don't believe that God is less active in the world today and that God is dead for some reason because church, Sunday morning at church on Pentecost, this great spirit doesn't come through and we see fire tongues. And we can understand foreign languages. To be quite frank, Christians have small group and church-wide and personal Pentecost moments all the time. God is doing acts of transformation in our lives on a regular basis. God doesn't need an axe head to float to show God lives or that God loves you. I believe God lives and God is not dead. That grace and unconditional love will win. That gentle wins. That kindness wins. Paul writes in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about the Spirit of God today and how the Spirit of God engages us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you notice I didn't say believes the right things? Did you notice I didn't say dances great, dresses fabulously, has a nice haircut? There's all kinds of things that get left out. The fruits of the Spirit, the engagement of God is found in gentleness. It's no wonder some people don't see God in the church. Sometimes the church isn't very gentle. Sometimes we, this part of we included, are not very gentle. These are the gifts from God, and I believe we all have a bit of them. And if we discover one is lacking in our lives, we can't fix it through just pure determination and will. The only way to engage more gift of spirit is surrender. Lose your life, gain a new life. You have to lose that one. And I keep thinking if I can just will it enough, I can put it on my list and I can spend enough time doing research, I can figure out how to do some of these things. So much for patience. I've preached a number of Pentecost sermons. I'd love to be a witness to an amazing display of God disrupting time. But instead, I can tell you that I have been witness to lots of little Pentecost moments in confirmation classes, on an Emmaus retreat, during Bible studies, in small groups, learning about spiritual gifts at summer camp, on mission trips. I think the real question for all of us is, are we awake to God's dream? Are we expecting God to do something or anything? Are we anticipating? Are we listening? Are we ripe as a church? Are we ripe? Is it the right time for us to do the right thing? God is not dead. God is alive and God is on the move. Every time that there is forgiveness, every time there is gentleness, every time there is joy, every time there is peace, you get to see God's face. Every time you are a witness, even from a distance of unconditional love, you get to see Jesus in the world. That's God's fingerprint. That's how we know it's God. God shows God's face in gentleness, kindness, joy, peace. God shows God's face in patience. Oh my gosh, what is he trying to do to us? We don't get to be God. We don't get to dictate to God what God's plan should be, even if we've got a great vantage point and we think we've got keen insights. We are, each and every one of us, a special piece of the puzzle. If one piece of the puzzle is missing and not put in place, what happens to the big picture? All you notice in your puzzle. Yep, lost that piece. It's always because our cat eats them. Or maybe it's the cat steps on it, carries it off the table, and the dog eats them. But somebody, and there's the missing piece. We are a special piece of the puzzle. And none of us are a better piece or a bigger piece than any other person throughout all of history. You are no less a piece of God's great puzzle than Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr., than John Wesley, Martin Luther, Dorothy Day. You are no smaller or no lesser a piece of God's puzzle, just a different piece that fits just right in just the right place in God's big picture. When you don't know the best way to follow God, when I don't know the best way to follow God, don't despair because you don't know God's plan for your life. My suggestion is follow joy. Follow peace. Follow patience. It's like following the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can see the effect of the wind. Follow goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Follow God by following unconditional love. It's the effects of the wind, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. So I invite us as a church this morning to let the Spirit of God loose in our community, in our church, and let the Spirit freely engage us all. And try not to steer God. Have you ever tried to steer the wind? Turns out the wind will move you the way the wind wants to move you. Put up the sail, collect the Spirit, and go where God sends. Go where God leads, and let's see what happens. Let us pray. Oh, Spirit of God, it is hard for us to not know where we're heading. We've been taught for years to plan, to aim, to do what's to set goals and live into those goals, little by little, aiming the right direction. Lead us enough day by day and moment by moment that in our obedience, like Abraham, when you're told to take Isaac and wood and a knife, set out in a sense of obedience and faithfulness to do what you asked of him. Let us too, without knowing the final destination, to follow you. Leave us the breadcrumbs that show us the way. Help us to follow more clearly. Joy and peace, gentleness, patience. Leave the breadcrumbs for us that allow us to follow you by seeking unconditional love. This is our prayer together. Send us, put us in, coach, put us in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.